Amen. Philippians chapter 3 is our text this morning. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read beginning with verse number 7. Amen. Hope you have your Bible and look with me here. And if not, then Brother Daryl will put it up here on the screen or the wall or whatever you want to call it. And you can follow along with us today. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, and having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here's the key verse here. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Amen. There's so many different wonderful Easter resurrection Bible texts. Brother Bright used some of those this morning. Actually, 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the most wonderful chapters in the Bible. It is just tremendous whenever you're studying and reading about the resurrection. I don't know. I feel different this year for some reason. I really feel like the need for resurrection power. I really sense the need for his power to be demonstrated in my life, in all of us here today, nationwide. We just need Christ's power demonstrated in our world today, don't we? We really desperately do need him. There is a shaking that is going on in our world, in our nation right now. It almost seems like the very foundations of everything that we believe are being shaken. You can be sure that Satan, before the end of this age gets here, and it's close, that he's going to try to shake everything that can be shaken. He's going to try to challenge everything that we believe as Christians. And it's important that we be on a solid foundation and that we know what we believe in. Amen? Amen. Why do we need his resurrection power? Because without him, we are nothing. Without him, we're powerless. We don't have anything. You might as well close up the doors of the church. If Jesus' resurrection is not true, then Corinthians 15 says, our faith is vain. We're wasting our time. It means that Christ didn't come out of the tomb. If he didn't come out of the tomb, then it says, our preaching is in vain. And really, in essence, what it says is that every preacher is a liar if Jesus didn't come out of the tomb. But we know that he did. And because of that confidence that we have, we can trust the Lord today in a time like we're living in today that is so extremely anti and Christ and opposed to the things of God. We can believe and trust that God is going to manifest his mighty power, his resurrection power at a time such as we're living in right now. So we really need staying power, don't we? We need staying power because it seems that that the very foundation is being challenged. The scripture says, for other foundation can no man that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is the only hope that we have. And Christ Jesus is the foundation. His resurrection is the foundation of everything that we believe. And we are not standing intimidated. We're not facing the challenges of this day in fear, worrying that we're not going to be able to survive. We need to be reminded today that Jesus came out of the tomb victorious, as the song said this morning, that he is the victor. He wears the victor's crown. He's in control. And no matter what is done, no matter what is said, no matter what Supreme Court's saying, no matter what government's saying, no matter what choices and decisions are being made in our world today, you can be certain that Jesus is still in control. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Great old hymn of the church talks about Christ on the solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you get away from the message of Jesus Christ, if you move away from the truth of the revelation of the power of the resurrection, then you're on sinking sand. You're not going to be able to survive. This one of the verses of that great hymn says, His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Glory to God. Christians, believers, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're on a solid foundation. Yeah, we're in a world that seems to be caving in all around us, but we're on a solid rock. We're on Christ Jesus. And if you know Him and you're living for Jesus today, you can have that confidence that you're on a solid foundation. Amen. Glory to God. And so we're celebrating that today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. There are hundreds and hundreds of all religions all over the world. Buddhism doesn't have an Easter. Hinduism doesn't have an Easter. The Jews don't have an Easter. The Muslims, they don't have an Easter. Confucianism, I'm confused about Confucianism today. Confucianism has no Easter. Atheism has no Easter. We can go on down the list of all of the religions of the world. We can visit an empty tomb. They go to a tomb, and their follower or their leader is still in the tomb. They cannot celebrate Easter like you and I today because their leader, their founder, is dead. Amen. But today, we serve a living Savior. And we can live in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You say, how do I know that? Well, if you're a Bible reader at all, you're going to know that it's true. That in the New Testament, more than 300 times, there's references to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is established by the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 119 in verse 89, Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. So that means that the purposes of God, the plan of God, it's already established in heaven, and it's not going to be changed. It's not going to be altered by any changes that take place in this world. It's not going to change anything because we are on a solid rock. Amen. The Word of God gives us that kind of a confidence. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4, it says, And He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And so we are not living on some whim. We've not built our lives on some careless religious idea or philosophy. We're standing on the Word of God that is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so that should give us staying power in a world that seems to be caving in all around you. We have something to hold on to. Our feet are upon a solid rock. Amen. And we can praise God for that. We're talking this morning about the power of the resurrection. We need power because we're powerless without Jesus. We need power because we have nothing to offer to the world without Jesus. We need power because we need to live in the life of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that power is real. And it's an experience that we can all have. That's what the Apostle Paul said in this text, that I may know Him. It's talking about experience, that I can know Him. It's not talking about a knowledge. A lot of people know about Jesus. A lot of people know about religion, they know things about the Bible, but Paul's not saying anything about just knowing about him. He said, I want to know him. I want to experience him. I want to have an experience with Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know that kind of power. I want to experience that. That's the plea and the call of the Apostle Paul. And it should be the cry of every one of us here today that if Jesus is real, then he doesn't need to just be some distant religious figure that we talk about. He needs to be the real Son of God who is alive today, that we can know him by an experience with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank God for the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection will keep us on sure footing. It'll keep us, it gives us staying power. Number two, the power of the resurrection can awaken sinners to their need for Jesus Christ. I've been thinking about this, and I may follow up and preach more about this, but it's been something on my mind a lot in recent days. And that is that this nation has had two, maybe three, it's debated, but at least two times in the history of our country that there have been great awakenings. And that just simply meant that the nation as a whole was walking away from God and was moving away from the things of God, oblivious to their need. And suddenly, God, by His Spirit and through the power of His Word, and He used great men of God, great preachers of the gospel, who preached the Word of God, even though it was not really something popular. Most of these preachers were rejected from pulpits. Many of them had no pulpit that they preached in on a weekly basis. Many of them preached wherever there was an opportunity to preach, but their preaching was with power. Their preaching was with authority. They were preaching the truth, and God used the power of the Word of God and the power of a resurrected Lord to awaken a nation to their need for God. We have a nation now and many people today who think they don't need God. They're not considering their spiritual needs. They're not even thinking about it. They're thinking about their life and having a good time and living out the days of their life, and just doing the best they can. They're not even considering the fact that we are physical beings in a temporary world headed toward an eternal world, and that we need to be living our lives with the understanding that we are spiritual beings and we need to awake to righteousness. There needs to be another awakening in the United States of America. There needs to be an awakening where conviction of sin comes. The first awakening was in the 1700s. And it was men like Jonathan Edwards and other great men of God who proclaimed the word of the Lord. And suddenly God visited them and conviction fell and made them aware. It awoke them to their spiritual need. Resurrection power will awaken. It brings an awakening. It will awaken us to our need. It will awaken sinners to their need for God. Never seen a time when the things of God are being made more fun of. There's such a mockery of God, a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ, and making light of the things that should be things that we honor and we give glory and honor to, and that instead there's a mockery being made of the things of the Lord. But I pray that God will, by His Spirit and by resurrection power, will once again bring to our nation an awakening and awaken sinners to their need for God. Will awaken them to the fact that they're lost and they're going to go to a horrible place called hell, and they're going to be there for all of eternity, and they need to be awakened to their need for God. And the only way that can happen is resurrection power. If I could do it, I would do it. If I could, some people, I'd just like to get a hold of them and shake them real good and say, straighten up and live right. And it doesn't do any good. Not that I've tried it, but it wouldn't do any good. But let me tell you what, God knows how to get a hold of people. God knows how to shake people. He knows how to disturb their life and disturb their existence. And He knows how to awaken them to their need. Matthew 12, verses 39 and 40. He answered and said unto them, this is the words of Jesus, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be three days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The only sign, the only thing that will awaken this generation. You may say, well, I wish that God would just do something, and I wish he'd save some pop star or something, and maybe that God could use them and help them. No, that's not what we need. They need to get saved. But what we need is resurrection power that will awaken this generation to their need for God. That's the only sign that will cause them to see their need. Jesus said, you're seeking after all kinds of signs. There's only one sign, and that sign is that Jesus went into the grave, and he came out of the grave on the third day. Amen. And that's the power that will awaken this generation. God, give us another awakening. Amen. Oh, God, give us another great awakening in this nation. Number three, resurrection power is power to dispel all doubt. All doubt. We live now in a time, you know, what one of the great ways that the enemy attacks you is he attacks your faith, your confidence in God. He attacks the Word of God, and he attacks your faith in God. And because of that, there's a lot of doubt. There are a lot of people that are discouraged. They think that God can't come through for them, that God won't move in their need. But let me just remind you, you're not the first person that's ever doubted. You're not the first person that's ever been discouraged. Just think about those disciples who had lived out 3 years of their life following Jesus. And then they witnessed him from afar being brutally beaten and condemned and then nailed to a cross and die in that horrible condition on a cross. They saw that, and the Bible says that they found hiding place. They waited and watched from afar, and then from that time on, they were waiting in quiet hiding places, fearing for their life. That was the condition that they were in, full of doubt, full of questions. What happened? We believed that this was Jesus. We believed that he was going to be the one. We believed that he was going to work and reveal his kingdom. Or Luke 24 and verse 38. And he said unto them, this is when Jesus stepped into the room where they were and appeared to them after his resurrection. Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. But when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, that's a great phrase there in verse 41, they believed not for joy. The phrase just means, this is too good to be true. This is too good to be true. This can't be real. We're in this hiding place. We're fearing for our life. Jesus has been murdered. And they thought, we're his followers. We're his disciples. We're the next ones to be murdered. And Jesus suddenly appears in their presence. And he says, look, here are the wounds of my hands. Touch me, handle me. See that I'm not in the grave. Yes, I'm the one that was crucified, but I'm not in the grave any longer. I came out of that grave. And the disciples said, this is too good to be true. It's too good to be true. The power of the resurrection will dispel all doubts. Amen. Every doubt, everything that you're concerned about today, all your fears, all your worries about today or the future, the power of the resurrection answers all the questions. Amen. Number four, the resurrection power gives to the believer a confidence, and really that just kind of goes along with, he dispels the doubt and he replaces it with assurance and confidence. Amen. Amen. We are not to back down in this generation. We are not to back down. We are to stand boldly for the cause of Christ. And I always insert this, you know, there's never a place to be rude, never a place to be obnoxious or when it comes to the way that we present ourselves to the world, but neither are to we be fearful, neither are to we to be backward about declaring the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that even across our nation, there are still those preachers of the gospel and even a few politicians that are standing up for righteous causes and are standing in that place to be confident in what we believe. Amen. So if you, the Lord can, by his power, replace all the doubts and the fear and replace it with confidence. Amen. That's the way that we're supposed to be living. Acts chapter 2. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Because, and I love this phrase, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful word? Amen. It doesn't matter. They nailed him to a cross. They brutalized him. He suffered more than we can even comprehend and died a cruel, cruel death and placed him in a tomb. There the Romans tried to seal the tomb. They tried to put the authority in the, of the Roman government. They put the big stone over the tomb. They did everything that they could to stop it from happening. It's almost as if the Romans and the unbelievers had more confidence than the believers did. They had heard that he said this is what he's going to do. And, of course, they were saying, well, we're just afraid that his body is going to be stolen away. So we're going to make sure it don't happen. And what they did was they created this impossible situation with the power and the authority of the Roman government that nobody could steal the body of Jesus and nobody could contain it either. Amen. It was not possible that he should be holden of it. Amen. It's not possible that any man or any government or any authority or anything would be able to keep him in the tomb. Praise God. Now that gives me confidence. Amen. We ought to have confidence today to know that what we're doing is the will of God. When we preach the gospel, when we give a witness to those that are lost in the world, you don't have to back up from that. You stand up. You be bold. By the way, be praying for our son-in-law, Kyle Hunley. He's a chaplain in the Air Force. And he's at really a very critical time there because there's so many issues at hand. And beginning in the month of May, he becomes the pastor of the chapel there at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. They rotate this responsibility among, and so he is going to be the official pastor. And you can just not imagine the pressures that are going to be and are on him. Pray for him that the Lord will give him the courage and the boldness and the anointing to preach the word of God to those people every week to declare the truth of the Word of God under pressure, but yet preaching our conviction to be courageous, to be confident, to know that God gives to us the power that we need and the confidence that we need to declare the Word of the Lord. That's the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Number five, he gives us the power to build his kingdom. The power to build his kingdom. Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. All power is given unto me. And then in the next verse, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. I'm commissioning you to go and to build the kingdom of God. But don't just go. I want you to know I'm going to be with you. Lo, I am with you always. So all the power and all of the authority and the very presence of Jesus Christ, when you go forth to build the kingdom of God. Jesus is with you, and you have as your intercessor and your strength and your power, this wonderful resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to be able to prevail against it. Jesus is the builder of the kingdom of God, and he's given to us because he came out of that tomb. He has given to you and me power to be able to do the work that we've been called to do. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Number six, and I've only got seven, so I'm almost there. Power to live an overcoming life. Power. That's what the apostle was saying when he said that I could know him, that I could know him, not know about him, but that I could experience him, that I could experience his power. Amen. That's what he's crying out for, the power to live an overcoming life in this world. That we have been sent forth, apostles, if you will. We are called of God, sent forth to preach the gospel, to declare the gospel, and we are to live a life that's overcoming, an overcoming life in this world. Amen. Let me tell you, the enemy, he's doing everything he can. I've noticed this over the years. I'll come under attack. Marshall will come under attack. Our family will come under attack. Then I'll look around and I hear from different people in the church. And one family after another, it's like the enemy just coordinates his plans and he just, bam, he hits us with all kinds of challenging things, all kinds of troubling questions and circumstances in our life, and we don't know how to face them. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I want to experience him and his power. I want his power because I know that if I have the power of Christ, the power of his Spirit, the resurrection power in my life, no matter what I face, no matter what comes, I'm going to be able to overcome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number seven, this is the last one. Power to face the last enemy. Power to face our last enemy. And the Bible says our last enemy is death. Amen. Enemy. Our last enemy is death. You see, Jesus, he went to the grave because he was the only one that could destroy death. He was the only one that could do it. Amen. Glory to God. So in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension, in the life of Jesus Christ, he overcame and defeated and destroyed death. So now, whenever our loved one passes from this life, we grieve, we're sad. It's overwhelming to lose someone dear to you. But at the same time, we have this abiding hope, this wonderful hope. And we know that they're in the presence of Jesus. We know they're in a glorious, wonderful place. And the resurrection confirms that. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. And you and I, we also have eternal life that has been purchased through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Then cometh the end when he shall have been delivered up, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you imagine living and then watching your friends and your loved ones die and having no hope beyond the grave? What a horrible, horrible thing. There's some big movie star, TV star that recently has announced that they're dying with cancer and they've got 3 months to live. And along with that, they said, I'm an agnostic. I'm just going to live out the days of my life, and then I don't believe anything happens after that. Can you imagine living with no hope? Living with no hope beyond the grave. Oh, what a horrible, horrible thing to consider. But those of us today who know that the Bible is true and know that Jesus came out of the tomb victorious and put death to an end. Amen. Victorious over death, and has purchased eternal life for every one of us. So now when your loved one leaves this world, they're instantly in the presence of God. They're instantly translated into eternal life. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a glorious thing that we should rejoice in. That is our hope. That is our confidence. We know the Bible says we all have an appointment with death. And after that, the judgment. But Jesus, He went to the grave because every one of us, unless the church is raptured, every one of us are going that way too. Amen. We're all under this terminal condition. We're all headed for the grave. And the only hope that we can have, the only thing that brings us to hope and to reality is the fact that we become more and more aware this is not all there is. This is not all there is. This is just a small little part of our existence. There is a whole new world to come. There's a whole new existence to come. And we get just little glimpses of it in the Word of God. We don't know much about it, but we just know that Jesus came out of the tomb and He has purchased our privilege and our right to enter into that wonderful new world of eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a horrible thing to live without this hope. I've read the story that President George Bush, the older George Bush, when he was vice president, that he was the one that was dispatched to Russia whenever President Brezhnev died to be the person from our government to represent the United States of America. He was there, part of the group of leaders of the world, right in that terrible bastion of communism and atheism and godlessness. It's a wonderful story, but President Bush said as he was standing there, this is in one of his books, that as he was standing there watching the ceremony and the family coming up to see President Brezhnev for the last time, something happened. Something happened that was totally out of order, totally out of protocol, certainly unexpected, shocked all of the Russian communist government. Mrs. Brezhnev, she stepped away from her family and walked over to her husband, President Brezhnev, his body, and she did the sign of the cross on his chest. Amen. And out of all of that darkness, and out of all, you see, we live in a world that even though they say we don't believe in God and we don't, there is something deep within the heart and the soul of mankind that understands that we are eternal beings, that we are going to live on. And it's important to know Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. He's your only hope. And you may be living out the days of your life thinking, life is good and things are going well for me. Let me tell you, it's not over with yet. You need Jesus today. You need Jesus today. You need the power of the resurrection today in your life. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And I believe that God can change lives even this morning in this service today. And we've been praying that He would. And I've prayed, Lord, somehow awaken people to their need for God. Awaken people to their need for God. You know, many times things are going along real smooth in your life and suddenly you get hit with sickness or trouble or trial, and you have this awareness of how much you need God. Sometimes sorrow and trouble and burdens and all the things that we face, it reminds us of the fact that we are frail. It reminds us of the fact that we are needy and that we have to call upon God. He's our only hope. Let me tell you, He's the one that can dispel all the doubt. He's the one that can replace it with confidence and assurance today. Not only what that, He's the one that can give you a message. He can give you a calling and a ministry whereby you are able to declare the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can live out the days of your life and you can come to the close of your life. And you can die peacefully, confidently. Amen. Knowing, going on, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be in the presence of God. I'm moving into that eternal existence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the power of the resurrection has provided for us. I've only covered 7 things. The list is endless. Oh, what a glorious truth it is that we celebrate a resurrected Savior today. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we do thank you, Lord, for the wonderful truths of your word. And we stand upon the authority of your word today. And we know, Lord, that this message is a message of great power. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.